Hey guys, it's Kristen. Do you want more Ask Women sent to your email almost every day? Well, then sign up on our ConnectPal page, which is connectpal.com/askwomenpodcast. You'll get tons of free extras like fresh podcasts, articles, videos from Marnie, videos from our guests. It's awesome, and it's definitely worth the $3.99 that it costs per month. So go to connectpal.com/askwomenpodcast.
Coming up on today's episode, we have Catherine Urbanek and Randy Wayne in studio, and we were talking about Kristen's recent heartbreak. She actually cries on the show, so stay tuned and listen to the tears.
Hey guys, welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source, bitches. I'm Kristen Carney, one of your hosts here with Marnie Kinder. She is the owner of WingGirlMethod.com. Check it out, buy your products, etc. We have Catherine Urbanek back on the show, and I know your name so well because we're on Facebook and I always see your posts.
You do a lot of stuff.
I try.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always look busy, like red carpety things.
Yeah,
oh,
like you're kind of famous.
Shucks. Yeah, not as famous as Randy, but...
I mean, Fine, both of you are famous, but still, like you do red carpet stuff, that seems so fun. Is it fun or is it not fun? Or is it work?
I don't like posing for pictures.
You're good at it.
Yes, you do.
No, I really
don't. You're very good at
it. To be honest, I really don't. Like, the ones I post are the ones, like, out of the 50 pictures that were taken, I found the one that worked, and then that's the one that gets shared. So, yeah, that's why people are like, oh, you're so great at it.
That's the one getting shared.
Huh?
That's good. That's the one getting shared because...
Well, I'm the one sharing it.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying, like, they happened to pick that one, too.
So, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. But we have your roommate here, Randy...
Wayne,
who's an actor who looks, you look like a mix of like Brad Pitt and like his even more handsome brother. Like,
yes,
this is not a good thing.
The security guard downstairs said, man, I thought you were Paul.
Oh,
like, Walker?
Oh, dead Paul?
Yeah, dead Paul.
Nice.
I know that guy. No.
Yeah, maybe. I see more Brad Pitt than dead Paul.
Yeah, I see Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
By the way, I think
like
Brad Pitt's
you don't get
ugly.
Awesome.
Yeah. She hates Brad Pitt.
That's perfect.
What about Paul Walker? Do you think Paul Walker's attractive?
The dead version, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
So then he's...
No, I'm kidding. Okay.
So it's working for you. It is working for you.
You're going to be in Hellraiser?
Yeah, it's the new Hellraiser. It's called Judgment. It's coming out probably end of the year.
Seems like that's... my life is actually just Hellraiser. I feel more like I star in Hellraiser every day. I hate my life.
Kristen
reached out to me for some advice yesterday. I liked it.
Yeah.
You were sending me texts of like a conversation. It was great.
Yeah.
It felt good.
Are you the Hellraiser?
I don't know.
No, that's just what happens in my life. So,
well, I'm the Judgment. So.
It's not what happens in her life.
I don't even know. I've never seen Hellraiser, so I have no idea. I've even, like,
but there's like eight of them, right?
Terrible.
Isn't that like a big franchise? Hellraiser is a huge.
Yeah, this is the 10th. Installment.
Yeah,
right here.
Like it's a big movie. So congratulations, that's a big deal.
Thank you.
Okay, so
it's awesome.
Do you want to talk about your situation?
Yeah, I had
another topic, but yeah, I would love to hear
therapeutically.
More.
I do.
Yes, Kristen is loving these weekly segments.
I am.
We have now because you get to vent and get a whole bunch of people's opinions.
We'll keep it helpful for people who are listening. I don't want to just be like, oh, now it's the Kristen's dating show. And
no,
she's
but
sad.
I know where you're going to go with this because we spoke a little bit yesterday. And so I know how we can use this as advice for people who are listening because I think it's really important information.
Yeah.
So explain to these two, these red carpeters, what's going on.
So I broke up with my boyfriend two months ago about an 8-year relationship. And then
he was in an 11-year relationship.
Hmm?
He was in an 11-year relationship.
11 years?
We'll talk about that.
Oh,
we'll get
God.
To that.
Yeah. Help us all.
Yeah.
You are starring in Hellraiser.
Yeah.
So then I immediately kind of started going on like Bumble just to kind of distract myself. And I didn't think that I would meet anyone that I liked. And then I did. And so we saw each other for about a month and he broke it off with me 2 days ago. Yeah. And Trisha's like, jaw on the floor. I know. Who would do that to me?
I know.
I'm too amazing. No, I'm not amazing.
You are amazing. You're just in an emotional place right now.
I am. And it broke my goddamn heart. Like I don't usually feel like feelings. And so like yesterday, I literally spent the entire day in bed. Like from the time I woke up,
sounds
I just
awesome.
Stayed there until just now when I had to come here.
Well, you look good. For spending a day in bed, you look amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just checking to see if we match on Bumble. I don't see you on there. Mine.
I probably swipe left. I have high expectations.
She's not
of my men. Better than Brad Pitt. And what's
I guess, I mean, there's a lot of it that's hard. But this whole dating thing now is new to me. I haven't felt emotions for so long because being in my prior relationship, it was so just like
just
monotone. And yeah, we weren't really into each other. It was just kind of like we just existed together, but I never looked at other guys just because I thought, eh, I don't think I'd find anybody. You know, like it was just not anything that I thought about. So now I'm going through all these emotions. And this situation with this guy, we've been seeing each other for a month or a little bit more. And he started about a week ago to show signs that it was like he was losing interest or like not wanting to continue. And what's embarrassing for me is that I was like pushing it. Like I was seeing the signs, but I was like, oh, well, maybe he just this and like
been there.
Yeah. And just have kind of forced myself on him in a way, not physically, because we haven't seen each other for 2 weeks. So I just was like, oh, like last week we were taping our show and the entire time I was checking my phone to see if he was texting me, because normally he would text constantly. And then all of a sudden, roughly around last week, it started to slow down. And so it was like 12 o'clock. I hadn't heard from him. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then, I became so obsessed.
Did he do?
So I sent him a picture that I was getting my ears pierced to try to like I got these.
At Claire's?
No.
Oh,
high end.
But it's interesting. So let's bring this back to people who are listening to our show, because I think this is also helpful information for them, because I think a lot of people
I was trying to basically get him interested again.
Yeah, which happens when guys first meet a girl and they don't want to let go of the texting. They're not hearing from the girl. Right. So like, well, let me just throw anything at her, and then it becomes creepy.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. I wasn't getting creepy, though, because
we already had a relationship.
How long were you together for?
A month.
But so you haven't seen each other in 2 weeks and you were together for a month?
Well, I'm kind of counting. So it's like right now, if we were continuing to see each other, it would be a month and like a week and a half.
Mm.
So we saw each other basically for a straight month. Like we saw each other maybe 2 or 3 times a week, texted constantly. And then about last week is when it started to slow down. And and we didn't see each other before that for a little bit because he had to go out of town. So he was in San Diego. And so what I was doing was I was waiting, because he had to go out of town, I was waiting to see if he would follow up about getting together again once he got back. I figured he'd be like, oh, so what are you doing this week? I'm back. And he didn't. And then that's basically when I had been going over and over and over in my head, like OCD obsessive, like couldn't stop thinking about it. If he was not liking me and what did I do wrong and all these things. And so, oh my God, I'm gonna get emotional.
Aww.
So anyway, it was awful timing because I had to go do stand-up. I do comedy. I had to go do stand-up, and right before I left, it was like an itch I had to scratch, and I just wrote to him, and I was like, so, like, we're never seeing each other again, are we? Like, I just, you know, had that sense, and he basically was like, he was really well-spoken, and I showed Marnie the text. Like, he was very nice, but he basically was like, I think you're great and wonderful, but I don't think this will work long-term for me or for us or whatever. And so then I was just like a ball of awfulness, and then I had to go like do stand-up comedy, which was a really hard night. So he said, you know, if you want to talk more about it, I'm working, but if you want to talk more about it, like at 11:30, because he works late at night. And then I just never wrote back. So it's been 2 days. And
how old is the guy?
My age, 33.
Okay, well,
and it's like it's one of those things where I think people need to listen to their gut, because I kind of knew we weren't a match. And I wanted us to be a match. And so it was like, I was ignoring all the signs of like, because he's very, like you just looked him up on Facebook, like he has a lot of tattoos and is very edgy. He's very into like scenes. Like and so I just kind of knew that I'm not that type of person. I'm not like this like rocker girl who DJs. And
yeah, but that doesn't mean that you're not a match. That doesn't.
No, but I can see him losing interest quicker because I don't have that like appeal. Like, we're in different worlds. He's a vegan. I fucking love meat, you know. It was just like there are certain things, and like he would talk about like doing drugs but like not eating meat, and I thought that was super hypocritical.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you'll put this in your body but you won't put that in your body. And so it was things like, I think on a good foundation level things were off anyway, but I was so attracted to him and I felt so great around him that I was willing to ignore those things. And it's an ego thing where I want to be the one to be like, no, I don't like you.
Yeah, everybody does.
And so
they want to be the one in control.
Yeah, getting it switched around for me is a new thing.
So I do want to make a couple of comments on what you've said so far. So I was watching, do you watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette? Okay, so I'm watching it this season because it's an awesome show. And Bachelor in Paradise is even better. Just a little plug for them, not getting any money. But you should watch that show because it's awesome. But they had the finale on Monday night. I watched it last night so I could do it commercial free. And it's just so interesting how they get to experience this whole relationship building arena. And then the breakup arena. So there's two guys at the very end of it. Both get to propose to her. They both think that she's going to say yes. She rejects one of them. And then 3 to 5 months later, they get to go on a show after not talking for 3 to 5 months. And they get to calmly get closure with each other because they've given themselves time to compose themselves.
And have perspective.
Have perspective and to really ask the questions. Which, honestly, if there was a way to do that in real life, that would be the most phenomenal thing in the entire world. Because they just, like, I'm sure there's cameras and people watching, and they may have been a little bit different if nobody else was there. But they get those moments to calm down. But it was interesting because the guy, Robbie, was asking Jojo, who's the bachelorette, like, why wasn't it me? You said you love me. Like, why wasn't it me? And she had said something similar to what you had just said. She said, no matter what, we had an amazing time. I had a love for you. But at the core, the things that we had in common weren't going to be long-term things that we could share. That foundation of friendship wasn't there because not that there was few commonalities, but the commonalities weren't solid enough or long-term enough for her to see that they could build on it. Had she just been dating him, I'm sure they would have dated for a very long time and maybe those things would have come out. But she was also comparing him to somebody else in her life where she was having those feelings.
Did she bang Robbie?
She did.
How many guys did she bang on the show?
I think two or three.
So maybe she had better sexual chemistry with the other guy.
But that could have been one of the commonalities that they had. But she was highlighting the friendship that was there compared to the friendship that she had with this other guy. So I think it was something that was a little bit more substantial than just sex. But I'm sure that was a component to it as well. When you do have a better connection with somebody in your commonalities, in your friendship, in attraction, you know, sometimes most often it does enhance.
I was going to say one thing. You're very lucky that he's 33. He seems mature in the fact that he didn't lead you on because, like, I'm pretty bad at, like, telling a girl it's done. It's hard to do. You're hurting someone's feelings. And so the fact that he just told you straight up in a very nice way instead of we can talk about it later, you're lucky he's that nice because he could have just, like, kept pulling you along and saying, no, it's all good. I like you.
Well, that's something I do want to talk about.
I still felt like I was stringed along a little bit because I know. I mean, it was pretty good, but it was like I had to initiate it and I had to go through a week of, like, mental torture going, oh, my God, I don't think he likes me, but I'm going to try this anyway. And, like, I wish, because, like, it would be weird, like, he wouldn't text me, but then I would post something on Instagram or Facebook, and he would like it immediately. Yeah. So I was
but he doesn't, maybe not like that.
Yeah. He doesn't like you.
So I was getting these, like, mixed signals, so I was continuing. I wish he just kind of, the minute he realized it, because now I'm kind of looking back, like, oh, when we hung out, he was kind of acting this way, and it's embarrassing to me because I feel like it's almost like you're walking around with a booger in your nose and they're not telling you. Mm. I'm, like, walking around as if, like, we're hitting it off and we like each other and I like you and you like me. Meanwhile, I have the world's largest snot rocket ready to come right out of my nose. Well, and no one said it. And so it's embarrassing. To me, I feel, like, humiliated.
He probably didn't know. He probably didn't. He wasn't sure. He's probably thinking, like, oh, do I see a future here? Do I like this? Is she like me?
It's probably debating time.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. But,
let's talk about a way for helping you reframe and not feel this way, because I think a lot of people go through heartbreak after a month of interacting with somebody that they really like, where maybe they don't think that they're a great match, but you were enjoying each other, especially after having a period in your life where you weren't really happy for so long. And to suddenly feel happiness with somebody was really nice. And to have that taken away, I think that's kind of what you're grieving right now, to be honest, rather than the person. But they still go hand in hand with one another. So maybe I would love to turn to you guys and just say, like, from, you know, bird's eye view, not emotionally involved in the situation as well, from a guy, from a girl, what is the best way for, like, let's just say this wasn't Christian. Let's say it was a guy or a girl, anybody, to handle that type of scenario, even on both sides. Like, let's talk about the person doing the breaking up and the person being broken up with. Like, what is the best way for both sides to handle that situation? The question is coming from, because Kristen yesterday was showing me, and you can tell me if you don't want me to share
this. No, you
but,
can share it.
Was showing me the text that they were writing back and forth. So the text that he wrote was very honest, and I thought, like, forthcoming, even though, yes, maybe for a couple of weeks you have felt strung along. Because I agree that he was probably debating this, because I could see him when he was writing. He likes and respects you. There's no doubt about that, and he's attracted to you. But I think he was debating whether or not it was something else that he wants to get further invested in. And so I understand the process of waiting a couple of weeks to figure that out. But he had said to you, I'm busy right now. If you want to talk later, I'll be available. And right away, you wrote back and wrote a lot of your feelings, right? Not a negative thing at all. I couldn't really make sense of a lot of the things that you were feeling, but you, like, emotionally dumped on him.
And it's funny because I felt like I was holding back from emotionally dumping.
Right. And I'm sure you were. But it was a lot to put on somebody.
How long between you and your big breakup and this relationship?
2 months. I mean, it's been like nothing.
I think a lot of it's from what your boyfriend is going into this as well. Like,
yeah, well, I think now I'm on the end of my ex-boyfriend, yeah, which is even way worse because we were together for so long. And like how it's – I feel like him because – or I'm in his shoes now, because on the other side of me breaking up with him, it was like, I'm not really concerned with his emotions or his feelings. I want to move forward in my life. And so all of a sudden I felt, now that this other guy was feeling that way about me, like, he doesn't care about it. My emotions to him don't really matter. He wants to kind of get a clean break and move forward in his life and date girls that he wants to date.
Well, that's just, you don't know that.
So I just started to feel kind of like bad for my ex, in the way that, like, I just kind of dismiss all the painful emotions that he's going through, and then feel like shitty because now I'm on this end of it. And it's dehumanizing a little bit. And I'll say that because he did tell me when I first met him, he said, because he's lived here for like 10 months, and he just said he's had like a string of like month long relationships here. And I didn't take that as like a hint, not a hint, but like I should have kind of thought about that more, because I just thought, oh, month-long relationships, those girls sucked.
So and he was so, in 10 relationships?
I don't know if 10, but maybe he's seen girls here and there, but they've each been like a month long. Mm-hmm. And so it was like we hit that month point, and then he was done, and I'm like, oh, this is a pattern of his. So I'm kind of trying to not take it personally, because clearly this is something that he's doing. But I just don't like being on the losing end of it.
Yeah, nobody does. And that's the thing. Everybody who listens to our show and writes in questions to us, and you know, it's not the rejection that they're holding on to. It's the, how do I save myself from feeling like a schlub? Like, from feeling, yeah, like the – and I totally understand that. So, okay, I want to make two comments. One is about, how do you stop feeling like a schlub in that scenario? And the other thing is, I want to talk about the emotionally purging in texting, because I had said to you, like similar to what I said with a bachelorette, like you should have hugged and said, well, I wish you the best. Like, that's the thing to do. And then you got to go take a breath and either call your girlfriends and vent to them, or go write it down on a piece of paper or something and get all of that shit out of you. And then you can get to your points of what you want to ask him. If at that point you want to ask him anything, so that it's not, because he was responding to you, and I still liked that he was still being responsive, but he was responding to things that I don't think is really going to help you feel better. And had you taken time to sort of just pull back a little bit, go do your comedy show, think about it, cry, whatever you want to do, and then come back, I think you could have gotten some really solid answers that could have helped you move on for the next situation that you get into. And you can still have that time right now. It sounds like he's open to it, and I'm sure he understands that this is what happens when, you know, a Band-Aid is pulled off really fast. So I think you still have that opportunity. In terms of not looking like a schlub, you have to reframe the way that you think about it. I would say that, like the egg timer example I give about my friend Sean Steven all the time, where you turn an egg timer on and you say, I am going to give myself 20 minutes to just purge.
Fine, about 20 years.
Fine, put it on your iPhone. You can put it on for 3 days if you want to, whatever it is. But as soon as that timer's done, it's done. Like, yeah. Do what you need to during that time. Call your friends, vent. Like, that's pretty much the limit of what your friends are going to give you anyway for whining about something. But then it's done afterwards. And then you have to be in control of talking to yourself more positively. Because the truth is, from a bird's eye view, is that you know you're awesome. You were in an 8-year relationship. You were in a vulnerable place. But you were having fun with this person. You had an amazing experience. You knew in your heart of hearts that this wasn't the match for you. But if you can reframe it to say, you know what, I had a great experience with somebody new. I now realize that I am a girl and I do like sex and I do like having fun and I like drinking and I like doing other things. Like all, if you can start to reframe your brain.
And eating meat.
Right. And eat meat. And you're like, fuck
I do.
Vegans.
I love meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I just, of course, to like distract myself going on Bumble and just like looking at, and like if someone says vegetarian or vegan, I'm like, swipe left. Out of my life.
It is so funny because I had this one client who wrote to me and he said, can you just check out my profile? I want to see what you think of this. He had gone through a divorce and he wrote a really great profile. But then he said, like, for his wants, if you don't play tennis, you are not the woman for me. And I just thought that was so interesting that, like, you don't like tennis? Like, that's it. It's over. But it was because his ex-wife, there was such, like, a thing around playing tennis and that he fixated on the fact that that's why their marriage ended because they didn't She didn't want to play tennis with him. She didn't respect the fact that he wanted to play tennis. She wouldn't support the fact when he wanted to go play tennis. So if you don't like tennis, like, this is not going to work out. So it's funny what you do hold on to. You're like, vegan? Fuck that.
Yeah.
But it's your way of screening for people. It makes sense. But just make sure that you're not cutting off awesome people just because they don't cut meat.
Yeah, so you preface this by saying easier said than done. So that we can give
Absolutely.
Advice
yeah.
all day long.
Yeah.
But when it comes to ourselves, it's harder to do, right?
Exactly.
And then, you know, there's obviously the rebound thing. And it's – you don't – when you break up, you don't realize you're on a rebound. You just
right,
feel
right.
like, oh, okay, I'm broke up. I'm single. I'm going to go talk to people. But right. it's a thing for a reason. And ultimately, I think you're so emotional because we want to be loved.
Yeah.
And even though you're in a relationship and you may feel the emotions are kind of gone from that person, you still – you sleep with the person. You're around them all the time. And so you kind of – that's the rebound. You want to be – you want to feel loved. You want to give. And so you found a guy that you were attracted to that was cool as hell, and I think you just went in. And unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. But I'll go back to what I was saying with him. Yes, I think what he did was perfect. I have a hard time doing it. I hang out with girls. We have fun. We have good sex. And then I'm like, I'm not really into her, but I like hanging out with her and – I don't want to tell her.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Yeah. No, and it then, is. It is good.
And then the purging, when you're saying that go talk to your girlfriends or write it down. I don't think talk to your girlfriends because girlfriends say what you want to hear.
Well, yeah.
I think journaling is the way to go because if you write, you'll come up with your own answers.
Right.
And you are pretty and you are funny. And so, like, you'll find there's so many guys out there that would date you.
I mean, Brad Pitt's into you.
But what the actual Brad Pitt, for the record, he called me the other day. But what happens is for someone like me, I'm very neurotic and insecure and self-deprecating. And so then it does become like a what's wrong with me, even though it's like
for
like
all comedians.
Everybody. I will. No, not comedians. For everybody. It's what's wrong.
I know. But
think
what I'm saying is I
questions.
Take it to like an extreme, like a super extreme.
But think about the questions that we get from people. They're all asking what's wrong with me. Why doesn't this person that I don't know like me?
Yeah.
Just because. They're not calling back or they flaked on a plan. It's like that is the natural place to go to.
Yes. But then to do like, I mean, for me, it's like, I feel like it's going to become an extreme thing because it's probably just super temporary, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to change the way I dress. I'm going to change the way I look. I'm going to change the color of my hair. I'm going to start, you know, it's like, it really makes you go, oh fuck. Like I'm not enough. And, like, what's scary, too, is, like, the world that we're dating in right now, they have, like, another girl in their pocket, literally waiting to go.
But you have to reframe all these things. And I know that you're still in your 3 days, so, like, even take 2 weeks, however long you need, because the truth is that you are grieving an 8-year relationship as well. So take as much time as you need to think that way. But when you are in a better place, you can also think those things. It's like, okay, they have somebody else to go choose from, but so do you.
I know, but then what happens is... It's a we talked about the other day or a while ago on that iHeartRadio show is the one-itis. Mm-hmm. You guys ever heard that term before?
No.
it's like when you basically become fixated on one person and you're convinced that that's the only person for you and that the only person you'll like.
I think I'm allergic to that.
That's good. That's a good allergy to have. You don't
I think
want
I'm addicted to that.
Yeah. Same, because now, because yesterday what happened to distract myself, I was just like all day just like going on Bumble and like swiping and swiping and swiping. And every guy, even that was handsome or cute, I just thought, he's not Justin. And just like, and it's like, oh no, when will I move forward and see guys as potentials? Because now they all just look like not the one person.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know? And that's a pain. You've had like 2 days.
I'm not interested in almost any girl right now. So I feel you. I'm I mean, I've been single for over a year and a half, dated for a little bit, but there's not like
it feels like hopeless.
Earlier today, I was just like, man, I don't know. When am I going to meet a girl that actually like really catches my attention? Yeah. Because girls are interested. We talk and I just flake because I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't want to spend my time, my energy on them.
Right, right. And so it's like right now I have like a gajillion. I mean, I was very liberal. Usually I swipe left on everybody, but I was very liberal with my right.
Like, I'll take any attention right
now. I
was just
like, I just need to talk to somebody. I just want someone to like distract me. And everyone.
But that's
like,
okay.
I would match with people and then start a conversation and they were like duds. Because what was good about the other guy, I don't know if it just say his name, Jay. But we had great text banter. And to me, that's so important. Like this kind of ping pong match in text. And so I actually did something really pathetic to distract myself because it was like a long day of laying in bed and like everyone was boring me so badly. And so I saw this guy that I swiped right on, but we didn't come up as a match. I don't know if he swiped left on me or just hasn't seen me, but I got his Instagram name was there. And so I wrote to him on Instagram and I was like, hey, this is really random, but like, I think you're cute. Do you want to go out sometime? I actually did.
Whoa.
That. Yeah.
What did he say?
And he wrote back, in text, he had like the worst personality. He was just like, hi, this is weird. Who are you? nice. Yes. Like, I just asked a question. No. And I'm like, all righty. And so eventually I go, and then he goes, send me some pictures. And then I was like sexy picture. Like, it was just so weird. And he just seemed like so disappointing. Like, and then in my mind, I'm going, oh, Justin would have been really so funny about this whole thing. And so I basically wrote to him. I go, if you want to go out, I'm going to go. If you want to go out sometime, let me know. Maybe like you're more exciting in person. Cause this
right. Here's a nipple
because
shot.
You're terrible in this texting shit. So I mean, but I was trying so desperately to be distracted. And then I feel guilty using someone as a distraction.
Oh my God. Why?
But
it happens. I'm sorry, but this is what happens when you are emotionally rattled. You don't do the most sound, gracious things. And
we're human.
We're human beings, and you have to forgive yourself a little bit more. Yeah. You are going through the 100% normal process. 100.
It sucks.
Yeah,
I literally
sucks.
Would
it's
rather be
feeling.
In a shitty, horrible 8-year relationship than this.
Really?
Yeah, because what happens
no,
then
you
is
you were
that
tortured and miserable. Before.
I was.
At least you smile now.
I was. But it's like you feel like I was numb. And like when you're numb, it's like, cool, whatever. I don't have to deal with emotions and listening to sad songs that make me cry in the car and drive to Pomona.
I get this way when people ask for
you know
a refund on my site. So don't worry. You'll get over it really fast.
You know you're depressed
just
when
don't
you
take
like
it personally.
Choose to like just drive in the car to like Pomona. Just to like go somewhere. I was just listen, like, I just got in the car and just like drove.
You're just, like, you're not alone though. I mean, like I've gone through, I mean, everything that you're describing except me minus the 8-year relationship.
Yeah.
And it's been that way. I mean, ups and downs through being, especially in Los Angeles, over the past 5 years. And, I'm glad that Randy's not a douche because I'm a lot of dudes I've met out here. I'm like, seriously, who raised you?
I know.
Randy's awesome. But, and so is Chance, our other housemate. But, I totally get it. Like, going on Bumble, it's like, or Tinder, it'll, like, you'll have matches and it'll be like, you know, and I'll message the dude because that's the whole point of Bumble is that the girl messages you.
Right.
And then they don't respond. And I'm like, dude, why are you here?
Right.
Like, you know,
right.
Or like, why did you swipe right? If you just, you know, and I guess, I don't know. I've heard some guys say, oh, I'll just go on it when I'm bored and I, you know, see who's cute. All right, fine. But it, like, as a girl, you know, it seems like you're looking for another relationship or something new and solid.
No, but
at
this
least
is for guys and girls. This happens to both people.
Yes,
so,
and I have heard that,
so what,
too.
So what do you do to help make yourself feel better in those situations?
I did get really drunk. The
that's
night
good.
Like so yesterday I was also in bed because I was hungover severely.
You are like a whole new person. Yeah. Like, but it is going to sting 100%. Anything negative that happens is going to sting. I this is like not even close to being the same thing, but I had this one person who is like a work associate who is a friend who's another like dating coach, And we had a miscommunication over email, and he was kind of snarky with me, so I thought, because I had joked with him about something, and I could not let it go for 2 hours when he wrote back that remark about, like, what I could write back or what I could have done differently. I couldn't let go of it. It was really bothering me. So I'm saying these are normal things. We're still going to be upset if something doesn't go our way or if somebody's thinking negatively of us. You know, it ended up being that he was just like, oh, my God, like, things don't read well over email at all. I was totally joking back with you. But for that time period, like, and that's not even putting my heart out to somebody that I have been sleeping with or that I'm invested in. It still stings. So this is normal. So what for you, what is your way? And for you, for all of you, like, what is a way to help make yourself feel better? Even if you sting for a few hours or a few days.
Well, I love frozen yogurt, and there's a particular frozen yogurt place I go to, and I'm just like, I need Froyo. I'm going to Whipped LA. Devin and Jared, if you're listening to this, there's your plug. I go and I get my low-cal Froyo, and I sit, and I enjoy it, and I look outside at the sunshine, and I also will go and visit this Bichon that I'm in love with, that I puppy sit for. I'll go visit the dog.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, a black guy. It sounds like Bichon.
No. And, like, but I look at him and I'm like, okay, these two things make me really happy. And I've been struggling a lot emotionally, just kind of, I'm very much ready for my 20s to be over. I have not enjoyed them really at all. But I keep thinking to myself, just kind of two words that I'm contemplating getting tattooed on myself somewhere is keep.
Fuck this.
No, keep going. Mm-hmm. Because my choices are, like, what are my choices? I can sit and stew and wallow in this, or I can keep going. And I feel like that's what everybody who ultimately succeeds in something, they just didn't give up. They mm-hmm. kept going. And yeah. I found, you know, I've tried to find the positive things in relationships in my life that have ended, or things that I got out of something, like, okay, this really didn't work the way I would have wanted it to, but I was able to take this element from it. And, like, you know, okay, I like a guy that I can have witty conversation with. That's something that makes me happy. The fact that he is a vegan and is into a bunch of stuff that I'm not into, that I don't want in my life. But I know that I can take this knowledge of what I do like. And ultimately, I think you'll find somebody that will have not all of those things, but close to it. And that's who, you know, you're going to probably end up spending the rest of your life with. Yeah. But it's not easy.
It just seems like it's not going to, you know, it just seems like, okay, there's no way I'm going to find someone that I can have. The reason I was kind of am fixated on him, or, like, was and am, is because we could have, like, witty banter, but also I was insanely sexually attracted to him.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to ever happen. Like, guys that I seem to have banter with are guys that I'm not really into. Like, it's like, it's,
yeah,
like,
but you've only been single for a short period of time, and you had yourself cut off for a long period of time.
I know, but I just don't see. I know the lights at the end of the tunnel in that respect to that type of interaction, but I just don't see it yet.
Yeah, you're
so
not going
that's
to
what feels really sad and scary.
You're not going to for a bit. Okay, I want to take a break. We're going to come back and get to some overanalyze this questions. But thanks for sharing all this. I know this is, like, Kristen never shared anything before except for the fact that she hated sex and and everybody who wrote into our show. And now she's like, I'm going to tell you everything about my life.
Yeah,
100%. Okay, we'll be back after this.
Playboy Radio's Music Spotlight.
Hey, this is Brian Head Welch from the band Korn, and you're listening to Playboy Radio.
So back to Korn. You guys must have just went all out crazy. What was the craziest thing that happened to you guys on tour?
Oh, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. It was like we would just party and party and party. And, I mean, there was all kinds of nights that we were just up all night. There would be one of our friends was a dentist, and he'd bring us nitrous, just suck on nitrous all night long.
Wow.
I remember we were partying one night, and this guy was there, and he was like, oh, I got the best coat. It's like the cleanest coke ever and ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find this stuff. And I was like, oh, where'd you get it? And he goes, well, I'm a surgeon. And so I have, and whatever he said.
Yeah.
And so he lined out his stuff for me, and I started snorting it, and I took ecstasy, and he goes, what time is it? And I was like, 3:30. He goes, oh, I gotta be at the ER.
At
9. And
that's,
I was
insane.
Like, that's what I said.
That's crazy.
And I was the rock star. And I was like, dude, that's irresponsible. You know?
Good for you, because that is.
It's crazy.
I feel sorry for the patient.
That's what I said. I was man, I hope to hell I don't have to go into your ER.
You're like, can I have your card? Yeah, I'm going to remember never to go to this guy.
It was scary, you know. And so that's how dark it got. It was like we had doctors that were just writing us like...
Catch Music Spotlight with Trisha Cruz right here on Playboy Radio.
If you haven't been listening to PlayboyRadio.com,
this is what you're missing.
You're just focused on ass today.
We have here Pamela Horton, Miss October 2012, and also our gamer next door.
Woohoo! What an introduction. You guys bring me on and talk about my butt.
See MTV's House of Food reality star, Amanda Jean.
Hi!
We teased when we had you on the first show at LA Kiss that you should do some modeling for Playboy.
I would love to.
And we're going to do a lot more here. This is going to be a lot
more
fun.
Is it going to be risque?
It's probably going to be risque.
So Ron from The Chive, welcome to the mayhem.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me again.
Hi.
Our goal is to try to make the world just 10% happier.
Ooh!
And we're able to do that.
That is a great goal.
The Chive, we are Chivers. Chive on, brother.
For this and even more great content, make sure to go to playboyradio.com.
Want advice and step-by-step instructions on how to get the girl sent right into your mailbox every single day? Then sign up for your free Wing Girl Method newsletter at winggirlmethod.com/advice. When you sign up, you'll also get a free copy of my best-selling book, 10 Devastating Mistakes Men Make with Women and How to Avoid Them. Go to winggirlmethod.com/advice and sign up now.
Thanks for listening to Playboy Radio. You want to hear more? Catch us on TuneIn.com/Playboy. We promise you won't be disappointed. When it comes to fitness, Andrea Lowell knows it all.
I am now a certified raw food nutritionist. I'm going to talk to you about the rectus abdominis, which are the six-pack muscles.
Hear about all the latest fitness and nutrition trends as she gives you the best ways to stay in shape.
My favorite superfood, chlorella. It's the cordyceps mushroom.
It's Sexy Beast, Mondays on Playboy Radio.
Listen to PlayboyRadio.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, let's get to some questions from our listeners. Okay, this second.
Damn you.
Yikes.
You're the reason I'm
okay,
here
so
right
here's
now.
A question. If people have questions they want to write in to ask at askwomenpodcast.com. I'm going to try as hard as I can to do more of these on the show because we are backlogged and I feel horrible because I'm sure there's questions from like 2016.
They just need to make the show 2 hours long.
Exactly. Or maybe every day. I would never want to do it every day. I would kill myself. No offense to people, but I got work to do. Okay, I have a challenge for you, a huge challenge. I am a 27-year-old black guy. I have had both black and white chicks in my life. I moved to this small town in Texas called Mineral Wells back in 2014. The women here, well, the Caucasian women here have all been brought up to, I'm trying to like be right on the mic, have all been brought up to not date anyone outside of their race. Now, I don't know if that is too hard for you to believe, but I hope it isn't too much to ask. But how do I break through an invisible wall that I see all of the time to get a woman to sleep with me?
Donald Trump's trying to build an actual wall.
Right,
so,
exactly.
No longer invisible.
He's going to make it impossible for you to do this, who lives in a prejudiced town. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I'm from Oklahoma. There's some truth to this, but also I think a lot of it's just a little made up. It comes to class a lot of times. If he can show up and show like the southern hospitality that the parents expect from a guy who lived in the town their whole life, the respect, the well-spokenness, the rest of it doesn't matter. They just want to see someone that's classy with manners and respect. And if he can show that to the women and their parents, then he should be good.
Yeah. You don't think there is some hardcore racism that
There's
does
hardcore
happen?
Racism everywhere. I've been to Louisiana where they're racist against white people. It's everywhere. It's a thing.
Well, white people are horrible.
It. Yeah, well, of course. So, and,
wait,
yeah.
Who's racist against white people?
It's everywhere. Trust me. I've been in Louisiana.
No, I know. I'm
kidding. They call names. I'm like, okay. It doesn't offend me. But where he's at, I lived in Texas. I'm from Oklahoma. It does exist. But at the same time, if you show class and manners and you're just a nice guy, you'll break through that wall.
I agree. Not letting that wall be a deterrent for you.
Of
you
course.
Just be yourself. But I love what you said about it's not like molding yourself to fit in, but understanding the culture of where you are at and fitting in that way, but still being yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
At the same time, too, if a girl doesn't want to have sex with you because of your race, then you shouldn't want to have sex with her. Like,
yeah.
She clearly doesn't respect you. Why would you? I don't know.
Right. And it doesn't always come down to, like, being, like, racist because you don't want to, like, be with another race. It's sometimes what you're attracted to.
Yeah.
I know for me, like, I see, like, a lot of handsome black dudes a lot. And I'm like, ooh, he's really cute. But I'm not physically attracted to him the way I'm not physically attracted to an Asian dude. Like, I just don't have those feelings. I have a very specific type that I'm attracted to. And it's like, that's what's hard, is that I feel bad because he's got the element of the racial things, but then the other element of, like, what you're attracted to. Like, Marnie's Jewish, and she was always into, like, short Jewish guys, because that's what
bald
she
Jewish
just
guys.
Was kind of, not because she was told to, but that's just what
that was my fear
naturally happened. So it's like, you have to find someone who's naturally attracted to your race and then go from there. And I know that sounds really hard and confusing, like, how do you do that? But
it's really just by being open and giving yourself different experiences, like similar to what you just went through. You dated a vegan tattooed guy, which is something you would have never done before. So that's expanding, because now I'm guessing that when you do go on Bumble or you are out, people with tattoos do catch your
attention. Oh, my God. I love tattoos now.
I know.
Like, the sexiest.
So exactly what Catherine was saying. Sometimes it's not racism. It's just what you've been exposed to and what is in your sphere of options. And that sphere can be expanded. So the guy didn't write in his name who wrote in. But for you, sir.
Dear sir.
You can just show somebody a different option. That's the thing. Exactly, you know, what Randy had said. It's just showing them that there is another option rather than being deterred by the fact that in your mind you think everybody doesn't want to be with somebody who's black.
You'll find the girls. Growing up, I was always attracted to black girls, but I never acted on it. I just didn't. I didn't think they'd like me, actually.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Orange County from Oklahoma, and I'm blonde hair and blue eyes, the first girl I dated for 2.5 years was half black, half Asian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I dated Mexican and everything. I went. I was like United Nations over here.
So Britain's leaving? No, that's what? They're not leaving.
Brixton.
Brexit. Brexit. Is that what it is?
Whatever that word was.
Brexit is like a lip gloss or something. I forget what it is. Brexit.
So how did you approach her? How did that situation happen?
No, I was working in a mall, and she came in, like, her big afro and, like, sexy swagger, and I was like, oh, I love you.
Oh, cool.
I kind of want to know you a lot better. And she was like,
that's really what you
said?
She
was like, okay. Yeah. And I was different for her, like, just country boy, thick accent. And
right.
So we dated for 2.5 years.
She's like, why is Brad Pitt working in a mall? Career's not going so well.
Exactly. I have been talking to a girl, and I realized this is the woman I want as a partner. She put me in the friend zone, and when I tried to get out and express my feelings, she rejected me. We started talking again and again. My feelings came up. Now she completely rejected me, and I really want her in my life. Please help. Is this a case of one-itis?
This is me. Him and I should hook up. Pathetic together.
I just had this conversation with a close friend of mine. He's in love with his best friend, this girl, and she loves him as a friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, why won't you just give me one chance?
Yeah.
And we talked about it for a long time, but ultimately she doesn't want to lose him as a friend. So he's like, I'll stay with her even if we have sex and it doesn't work. But you don't know that you will. You might be so heartbroken. So
it also
she doesn't
want to
ruin
things,
that. She doesn't want to ruin that friendship they have together
by taking
a chance on
it.
It's
not even like she doesn't want to ruin that
right,
friendship.
I think she's
not attracted to him.
I think girls use that phrase. I don't want to ruin our friendship.
I
want to
keep our friendship
I don't want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
I'm just not into you physically.
I've got girlfriends that want to have sex and I won't do it because I don't want to ruin our friendship.
Yeah. I think guys will say that because guys will have sex with anybody for the most part. Right. So guys will want to have sex even though they're just friends. Girls, it's not the same way. If you're just friends with a guy and you don't feel that chemistry, that sexual chemistry, you won't just want to have sex. So it's a different...
Why do you think it would ruin your friendship? Because she would get
attached
to you?
I've learned since I've been single, like, girls, once you have sex with them, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it's like that umbilical cord right there.
Holy shit. What's wrong?
Not always.
Like chemical stuff going on there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's oxytocin. It's beyond our control. It's like a biological thing for us. I know. But it is interesting because when girls do usually say that, it means I don't want to be with you. I have this one client right now. And it's sad. I mean, it's keeping him in my email coaching program. So it's like making me money, which is good. But he literally writes me the same thing every single time. So we had a coaching call at first. He told me about this girl that he originally dated. She said to him after, I think, about a month and a half, I just see you as a friend. I don't want anything more. And he said, okay, but still pursued her, thinking that he could change things yeah. around by changing his character, the way that he was acting. And we definitely did some coaching to get him to be more of a leader, whereas before he was a wonderful communicator and supporter, but he wasn't really bringing that sexy home. And she did start responding to a lot of the things that he was writing, but I could tell that she could still see him as a friend. And he would try to engage her and initiate conversation that would lead to getting together. And she sort of kept flaking on him. But she would still want this friendship to be there. And together we constructed an email that had him say, like, listen, I'm not sure if I'm being clear with you. I even though she had already said what she wanted and she was clear with him, he needed that for himself because he thought there was still an opportunity. And he said, I don't want to be your friend. I think you're wonderful, but I'm not in this for friendship. I want to be something more for you. If you do not want that, please let me know, and then we can't communicate with each other, and I hope you respect that space.
Yep.
So
she writes back.
And she writes back. Oh,
thanks, Randy. Thanks.
What?
Perfect. Yeah. I didn't want to date you, so this is like a good way to kind of get you to stop annoying me.
She writes back and says, I'm really sad, like basically, don't be a baby. We can still be friends. Like, hoping we can still be friends still. And for him, in his mind, he thinks that that means there's still
a chance.
A chance.
It's like in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
She's like,
try. And I kept saying, you just got to cut it off.
Well, it's like, you know, the Dumb and Dumber thing.
I mean, well, I'm in a friend zone. I've been in a friend zone for 6 months.
Yeah.
With a guy that you like.
Randy knows all about it.
With a guy you like.
Yes.
You just got to cut it off.
I think I might possibly be in love with. It's really bad.
Well, with this guy, he was like, I want to still be in your life as a friend, but I don't want to pressure you into friendship. But it's like, you're tempted to take it because it's like,
it's the only way you can be close to them.
Yeah,
I get it.
I liked communicating. I liked being part of his world, and it's like, I want to say yes, but I think I'm more like in love with him, and so then I can't. I know I can't, but
I'm 99.9% sure you're not in love with this.
I'm 100% sure you're not in love with this guy.
I think I because again, like, you both want different things, and I think you're just very much attracted to him, and you are coming. You've gone through this whole experience that I think was almost like a drug, where it's like,
yeah,
wow, I can enjoy sex, and I can be attracted to somebody, and I can enjoy witty banter, and we can like do this fun stuff.
Yeah,
no, this is good. Keep going.
Right.
Even though there's nothing,
and now you don't want me.
It,
I want you even more. Right.
But even though there's nothing to really like hold this foundation, this is really fun. Yeah. It's like going to Six Flags.
Totally.
But you can't go to Six Flags every day. It's just not.
You
could, but the G forces are going to have a bad effect on you eventually.
You get sick from the roller coasters eventually.
So I think that's what that is. But for me, I do this person who is my friend and who I'm his friend. I do genuinely care about him.
Of course you do. You're in love with him.
Yeah, there we go. But I do to the point where like I'll do stupid things where like, I will do something that makes myself unhappy to make him happy.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not.
It's not a friendship.
Not that
he's doing that to you.
Huh?
But that's not that he's doing that to you as being a poor friend, but you're being a bad friend to yourself.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, and it's not getting you anywhere except for distracting you from other guys that are freaking much better for
I'm
you.
I'm on Bumble. I am on Bumble religiously.
Yeah.
I am not.
Well, get
I'm
off
like,
of
I am
him and
keep
on
keep going.
Bumble.
I am on the Bumble.
Yeah, get that
good.
Tattoo.
But yeah, exactly. I really
tattoo.
Should.
Keep going.
But like, so just going
Bumble,
off of that,
yes,
though,
just Bumble.
Like I matched up with somebody on Bumble, and he was like, and I told him that I have a home in Toluca Lake, but I'm staying a lot in the West. And he's like, well, let me know when you're back in Toluca Lake and we can go out. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be back in Toluca Lake for a week because I'm puppy sitting my dad's black lab on the West Side. Oh, then we'll wait a week. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, it's a little offensive to be like, I'm not willing to drive to West Hollywood to meet you, but I'll wait a week. Like, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'd say that.
I mean,
fuck
I wouldn't.
That.
No,
I would too.
Like.
I'm not driving.
Hold on, stayed away.
No, then but that to me is like so, like, it's offensive to me personally.
Is
like,
it to somebody you've never met before that they don't want to
yeah,
invest? That much in
she
you?
Would do it.
You swipe
well, no,
right?
It's a 20-minute drive. Like it's
yeah,
not that
it's
big
not like
of a deal.
She's asking her to drive to Pomona, which is
no.
where I drove to.
No, but think about it. This
and LA
way.
Is a huge city. I mean, like you know, and he's like, and he told me he's looking for a relationship and to meet the right person. Okay, great, but you're as long as they're in your a 5-mile radius of where you live.
Yes,
like that to me. I'm sorry. It's just and to
That's
tell that
limiting.
To a girl. to me, I think I find it offensive. Like, yeah, you commute to downtown LA for work, but you can't drive.
Yeah,
it is. That's interesting. But think about it.
You can Uber if you really don't want to drive and do email.
But he doesn't really want to see her. Well, that's what it's saying.
Right.
I don't really want to see you. I don't know you yet. I'm not going to invest. I just did that with 20 other girls and they fucked me and I spent $150 on dinner with them. I'm not driving to see you. You have, like, if that's what's going to cut you off.
But a girl wants them to do that.
I understand that.
If I liked a girl, 100% I would do that.
Yeah.
If you liked a girl that you met on Bumble.
Yeah.
Who you don't really know yet. Okay, did you have a really strong connection with this guy on Bumble?
I don't know about a really strong connection. He called me and we talked on the phone for like 45 minutes.
Okay.
And it was like a night, you know.
And were you invested in him?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I swiped right on him. I read his profile. I'm like, okay, all of this like looks okay to me. No, but I mean, like, from what I gather of this person, I'm willing to say yes. I'm going to take time out of my busy schedule because I don't have, like, I am a busy person.
Are you
going
to drive to him?
If he was in Silver Lake, I'd say, hey, let's meet up halfway. Like, I mean, or find a common ground. I'd be like, nah, I'll just, you know, wait till you're back here. And he literally said we can go walk somewhere. And I'm like, all right.
Hate
like,
this guy already.
You know, to me,
that sounds like my
he wants to have you close to his house so he can bang you.
Okay, well,
he
then
just wants it to be as convenient as possible. Yeah, because.
Yeah, and to me, that's like, you know, I'm. No.
Okay, but then that's your boundary.
That's
I want to say something about Bumble and Tinder. Girls get really upset when guys don't respond a lot, and girls seem to be pretty good at it. But here's the thing about Bumble and Tinder, whatever, Raya, whatever. You match with
What's
like
Raya?
Let's say,
yeah, yes, I'm on Raya.
He's in Hellraiser. He gets to be invited into Raya.
So,
oh,
you know,
okay.
You match with like
it.
10 girls, let's say, in a day, and you might talk to them a little bit, and there's the lag of communication between your emails and their messages, whatever. So then you go on again, you swipe more, you get like 5 or 10 more, so you kind of keep getting them. So you invest like a little bit of conversation, they get pushed down, you get 10 more conversations, they get pushed down, so then eventually you've got like 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 matches.
I don't have that many conversations. Swiping. Well, I didn't either until like a couple days ago when I realized that this other thing was in the can. I started swiping right a lot, and so I got a lot of matches. And now these guys have gone, let's talk like in text, not over Bumble. But I'm like, but then I won't know who you are. Like, I need the picture there because there's so many.
Picture in there and say Bumble.
See, well, that doesn't happen. I mean, I match up, and I can honestly say probably 1 out of 10 guys actually respond to the hey, like, you know, or hi, or, you know, like something, or I'll comment about their profile. Like, very few of them actually write back. And I'm like, that's why I'm frustrated, because I'm like, why are you, you know, on here? And it's not like I have a bunch of hideous pictures or I'm trying to catfish anybody. Like, I think I'm a decent looking chick.
Cute.
I'm a spin instructor, for crying out loud. I've got a light
ass. Come
like,
on.
Yeah, really. And I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, that's
so,
what you should write to
so
them.
That's
I'm
the
a
thing.
Spin instructor, for Christ's
sake.
Well,
this has been a good episode to show the frustrating side that women experience.
Yeah.
I think.
Marty,
no, because,
you could have me on every show and I would bitch about being
I know. That's exactly what every
single
guy
single
wants to listen to on this show.
And
last
absolutely.
A whole bunch of women bitching.
I guess one thing about this Bumble shit, girls are like, have something original to say when you message me. Bumble's good because girls write first. Here's my last 7 messages from women.
Hi.
Hi, Rando. Good morning. Good morning, Rando. How are you?
I'm sorry, but
I'm
really good at the opening message. I, like you, do not have the problem. Guys, respond to me. I have, and I'm not trying to be braggy, but
no,
I have.
No, but you write good messages.
I have very, like, witty messages that I start with, but they're not, like, witty where I'm trying too hard.
Look at this. She's so down like, on herself, and then she's, like, Miss Ego over here.
No, but I just, but my opening line's good,
but
then it just fizzles from
the
there.
Openers.
But I think. The head, you know, like I do nothing like that. Like I make myself be like not like every
Find
other girl.
Something to,
yeah. Like for example, like this guy, his name's Toph. He T O P H. I just typed. I googled Toph. I just googled and he came up. And so I read. There's like this thing. He's a writer and he's kind of had like this thing that happened on social media that kind of blew up and he got in trouble and he had to like write an apology letter.
Nice.
So like I wrote to him and he wrote. In this apology letter, he wrote how much he apologizes for being snarky. He hates snark. He thinks snark is like a bad thing. So I wrote to him, hey, are you still, because he used his extension on me, the 24-hour extension, because I wasn't going to write to him. And then I just wrote, are you still not into snark? Because I'm a little snarky. Sorry, I Googled. And then he wrote, oh my God. How do you Google people with just one name? But like he responded, like
right.
I get them to kind of like, be curious.
You should, right. I mean, well, I used to do that. So, Randy
it takes
and
a
I,
lot of energy.
Randy and I have a mutual friend, Krista, and And I would like, you know, I would see, you know, like guys that they were really into, like they write, you know, I'm really into sports. I'm like, and I would say, favorite football team, you know, question mark. And our friend Krista said to me, she's like, you don't ask them complete sentences. And she was like, you need to address gentlemen like they're gentlemen and prove that you're a lady and say,
what?
Good evening, so-and-so.
No.
How
Ew.
Are you today?
Absolutely.
So that's exactly
no.
that's what Krista told me to do.
Do not listen to Krista.
So that's
what her pictures look like.
I just heard this girl, what up, boogerhead?
Yeah,
it's my opening
stuff
line.
Like that.
I think that's good. That would catch my attention.
This one that I did, this is the last what? One. This was really good. So this guy had a picture. This guy had a picture jumping over all these like cow like horn skulls.
Yeah.
And I sent it as like a meme. So I screenshotted the picture and then I wrote going through girls on Bumble like and just jumping over all these like dead skulls. So I have really good openers.
Good
and he
ones.
Was like he wrote, oh my god, clever. You know, so it's like. I think if you have the right line, they'll write back.
Absolutely.
But it gets exhausting. So actually the last two that I wrote, I just wrote, hey, and then in parentheses I wrote, I'm all out of creative openers.
Like, but that's creative.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think just being honest and real does get people to respond or yeah. funny and creative.
I think so too. Okay, I have one last question before we
anyway,
end
none
show,
of them
how much
the
time
guys.
We have.
So I don't like anyone.
All right. Anymore. All right. We are done this show, but this has shown us the other side of crazy women.
Yes. The other side, that's the only side.
Right. But it shows you that it's not just men going through
women are insecure.
We're all insecure. Everybody's insecure. Everybody in this room is insecure. Everybody outside of this room is insecure. We're at Playboy, for God's sakes. So there's lots of insecurity around this room. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you want to write in questions, write to ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Katherine Urbanek, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Randy Wayne, thank you for being on the show. We will definitely have you guys back. Fantastic advice. Kristen, thank you for opening up
back.
So much. Yeah,
I'm
she's
so
out
sad.
Of here. This is Kristen's last episode, everybody. Thank you. Amazing.
So I'm gonna kill myself.
New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Go subscribe. Don't be a loser and download individual MP3s. It's a waste of time.
And remember subscribe to our page, connectpale.com/askwomenpodcast, where you get so many awesome extras, extra
yes.
podcasts, extra yes. advice. All
and advice
go
from Kristen.
It. And advice from me.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want right now.
And don't follow me on Snapchat. I am Randy Wayne.
We will see you guys next week.